5:13.
Uncle's teaches us that to live means chai oma. What does it mean, chai oma? When do you get alive?
You live with
you
a widow.
In the world.
If you do the mitzvahs, you go to the Olam Haba. You go to the next world, and you have lots of an endless life of ice cream and pleasure. Valo sofa who met. In the end of the day, we're all gonna die, right? You're gonna die, and you're gonna die,
and
even you're gonna die.
I'm not gonna die, sweet.
Ella,
at the end of this day,
v'chai behem le'olam haba. The mashmut v'chai behem hi le'olam, meaning to say, forever. V'chai behem means if you do the mitzvahs, you'll live forever. Okay, get a piece of eternality. V'lechayda, ha'perushim elu sotrim zeze. These two explanations seem to contradict each other. According to Chazal, they say, what does it mean to live, to b'chai behem? To do the mitzvahs. Whereas according to the Targum Unklis and Pirush Rashi, b'chai behem means, what does it mean to live, and you shall live by them? It means?
Olam Haba.
Olam Haba. So what is it? Does it mean to live? To live means to fulfill more mitzvahs, or does it mean to live? V'chai behem means to get olam haba. Let's take a vote. All in favor of v'chai behem meaning olam haba, raise your hand. All in favor of and live by them means to fulfill the mitzvahs, raise your hand. Okay, so you guys
well,
like.
Fulfill them, you get olam haba, so you're good.
So you guys like the pshat of Chazal, but these two explanations seem to contradict each other. We have to try to make them work. Oy tzarech birur lefi atarim. It also requires explanation. Tzarech birur. Hare amru chazal havu kavadim amshamshim et rav amnas lekabel pras. Right, for those who doing pirkei avos pushups.
Amen.
Chazal teach us that we're not supposed to do mitzvos for what? For rewards. Yeah. In other words, we're not supposed to be doing the mitzvos in order to go to olam haba. That should not be our primary motivation. We believe in such a thing, but that should not be the reason I'm doing the mitzvahs.
It should not be quantitative.
Right. And therefore, why is the Torah promising me that if you do the mitzvahs, I'll give you olam haba? If Chazal are telling us that you shouldn't be doing the mitzvahs to get olam haba. But I thought our motivation should not be to do the mitzvahs to get to the next world. Should our motivation be for the next world, or should it not be?
It's for the sake of it. Just because you know that you're going to get a reward for taking in the groceries, that doesn't mean that you're taking in the groceries because you're going to get a reward. You can separate yourself from the goal.
Excellent. I agree with you completely. I agree. I think you can we can know intellectually.
Intrinsic motivation.
And you can also, hopefully, it can motivate a person, but ultimately, hopefully, a person will come to a place where he does it for
just
his own
like stickers
reasoning.
Motivate,
so they're not necessarily mutually exclusive. I agree with you. I agree with you, but we still have the problem of the contradiction, which is, is it for mitzvahs or is it for olam haba? How do we reconcile these two seemingly contradictory explanations? Any ideas? Why? Are we doing... Does v'chai behem mean in order to do mitzvahs? Or does v'chai behem mean olam haba? And how can maybe they be talking about the same thing?
Well, doing the mitzvahs leads to olam haba.
Okay. So you do one mitzvah, you have another mitzvah, and that will lead to the next world. Maybe. That's one possibility. What else? Any other ideas?
Well, we also know that Judaism isn't about olam haba. It's about here. Like, there's value to here, too.
Okay.
So, depends who you ask.
Really?
No, I mean, I would say it's pretty, at this point, it's pretty agreed that we should be doing the mitzvahs for this world. The question is, how much do we stress olam haba? Some might stress it more, some might stress
Misilat Yesharim kind of stresses.
I was going to say, for example, Misilat Yesharim himself says that we are here to get Vekus in and we can achieve connection to Hashem, but in his introduction he does say that the main reason we do the mitzvahs is for olam haba. You
right. Really read the instruction.
Okay, fine. But he has another book called Derech Hashem where he focuses much less about extrinsic rewards and much more about intrinsic rewards. So it's really a question of where do we put the stress.
Yeah.
Okay. But let's see what the Holy Netiv Shalom has to say about this question. Second paragraph. The Yesh Lomar. we can say. Okay? Anybody else? Everyone good?
Yeah, Shlomo.
The be'emes shnei apirishim elu ve'elu divrei elokim. Both of these are the words of the living God. V'inyanam echad, and they have one essential idea. Shevechai behem kolel b'mashmuto beit advarim. Chai behem has within it these two matters. Shereishis inyan v'chai behem haynu b'kiyum ha-mitzvah she'kayman b'chiyus. First of all, in order to truly live the Torah, you need to do it with vitality, with life, with aliveness. Right? What do I mean? Aliveness? I'll give you an example.
Fire.
With fire. This morning at the Kaisel, there's all the normal minions, and there's one minion on the
with
side.
With a black and white fire that is the color
you
of
could,
our holy
you could
guards.
See the black and white fire because there's black and white dudes screaming every word of the tefillah. They were doing it with fire. At 5 o'clock the night before, it wasn't my minion. It was just different. But in Eliyahu's minion, Mamish, at the Kaisel.
Your minion.
It was Rav Eliyahu's minion.
It's rough.
It was definitely Rav Eliyahu's minion. Because we didn't say hallow with the brachas, so it was definitely his minion. But I was dancing like a nut. And Mamish, that was alive. People there were going crazy. That was.
Did you say a bracha silently for your hallow?
Of course I did. But it was. Anyways, that's one example of what it means to be alive. When you're singing and dancing. There are other times when we're alive. So shekol mitzvah sheyudu mekayem yekayma bislavus uvechiyus kol guf veivarim. All our body and soul should be alive when we're doing the mitzvahs. Why is it that many people shake when they're learning Torah?
Because it gets them into it.
And when they're davening.
Gets them engaged.
Because it's a nervous habit, but also because
with your whole body.
It's serving Hashem with your whole body and gets you engaged. Exactly.
What was the rabbi that was starched when I stray on
Rabbi Akiva.
Rabbi Akiva. That cloud god of the Torah, it's his parsha. Rabbi Akiva. Because what's the cloud god of the Torah? Parshas Kedoshim. And this morning when I was doing my Daf Yomi, it was all about Rabbi Akiva. So Hashkacha Pratis. Gavah. We're connected.
Oh, the Hashkacha Pratis. You tell me yesterday? With the crazy Hashkacha Pratis.
So basically,
the bus was like really messed up. So they told us to meet us here, but they also, and originally we thought we were gonna meet at the apartment. So Ben and I start walking. And I was like, hey, maybe this is a shortcut. So I take a right and a left instead of a left and a right, and we end up at the wrong spot. But right when we get to the end of the street, the bus pulls up, honks, stops, and we get on the bus.
Yeah. So if we didn't go that way, we'd have missed the bus. We already left Abby and Yoni behind. We had to go all the way. Back
there. When was this?
Yesterday.
After a bunch?
No, on our way to the Yom HaTzmut hike.
Afterwards, yeah.
We forgot. Avram's like, yeah, the whole yeshiva's on here, but no one listened to him. And we left. And then we realized we had to stop. And then we thought it would be easier if they walked over instead of us just going back like 2 minutes to pick them up. So we waited for them. And they're like, oh no, let's just go back. And then,
okay, kids are long story. I guess this is what happens.
When you're not here.
When I ditch. Okay.
So what happened with dinner yesterday?
My friend, would be a great definition of not
like 30 times Torah. Like,
Rabbi Seif explained it in this class.
Mebchinat kolat matay tamarj Hashem yikamocha. Afterwards, we can talk. Honestly, anyways. So it says, "Kolatz matay tamarnu Hashem ikamecha." All my body should say, "Hashem, who is like you?" Kumosh matzino shal mitzvos pratios nemar alashon v'tariyag mitzvah tatuyas pa hanuk shikol tariyag mitzvah tatuyas mitzvah prati kach gam b'kiyam a mitzvah poal gam im kiyam a be'ever mesuyam tzarich yudi lashkiat kol ma'utov v'chiyotov b'kiyuma v'chay behem lo sheyemut behem. This pasuk of saying live by them means every mitzvah spiritually brings alive a different part of your body. Let's say I'm doing a mitzvah with my hand, I'm wrapping my tefillin. That frees up the soul of the hand. But only if I do the mitzvah with all my heart and all my body. If I'm wrapping that tefillin with hislavut, with joy, then spiritually it gets unleashed. And of course this is also true psychologically. When you do anything with joy, you enjoy it. And when you do it sadly,
you enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. And when you don't, that's why it's a word.
Enjoy.
And when you're just going through the motions, you don't really get much out of it. I mean, of course, it's still a mitzvah, don't get me wrong. And sometimes you just get enjoyment of the fact that you're a committed Jew. Sometimes you'll go to Minyan and you're not really feeling it. I didn't really have a great spiritual davening, but you're still happy because at least I'm committed to my values and I'm doing what I believe I should be doing, right? That's also important. But ideally, every mitzvah that we do should be done with this joy. Take Talmud Torah. What's a surefire way to make sure that when we learn Torah, we actually enjoy it and do it with hislam, with fire, with passion?
We sing a zmirah before it.
We sing a song before it, that for sure helps. How about if you make a chavrusa, right?
If you make a goal.
If you make a goal and then you're getting towards, that also feels great. But certainly when maybe I'm alone on this, when I read this Netiv Shalom on my own to prepare, it doesn't have the same joy and passion as when I'm learning it with you guys. Because it brings it alive when you learn it with another person, right? Connecting to other people brings things alive. So I would always, always recommend that whenever possible, try to at least have one set chavrusa a day. When you go to college campus, make sure you have one chavrusa every day. And make sure you have 10, but at least
one. I have my
one.
Japanese chavrusa once more.
Kvaldik. Kvaldik. What's going on, holy brother? Make space, make space. We have plenty of room for you. Just as we're talking about v'chai behemes, a saving lives. Kvaldik. Vinyan zeh. Guys, and this matter, Hugam Shoyresh Vamakorsha Vachai Bam Lolam Haba. Ah! And this matter is also the root of life in the next world. Al Derech Shamar Harebi Akkadesh Mikarlin Tzchus Yagen Aleinu. Sheshama Ki Yechrizu Bashamayim Sheyudi Yamakayimet Atorah Vamitzav Shomash Shabbos Vachol Adikdukim. He heard in heaven, it was declared in heaven, that someone who keeps all of Shabbos with all the details, ach eino margish ta'anug b'Shabbat, but he doesn't get enjoyment out of Shabbos, harei kasher ya'aleh lo'olam elyon, when he's going to go to the heavenly world, yitno lo chelek b'gan eden al shmirat et ha'Shabbat. He's going to get reward for his keeping Shabbos. Ach hu yiyeh sham kisafsal hamunach b'gan eden. But he's going to be like a holy dead bench. It's not going to be a holy, holy live bench. It's going to be a dead bench sitting in Gan Eden, because what was he doing with his mitzvahs? Was he alive or was he dead when he did
he
the
mitzvahs? He was dead, so he's no
he was dead when he did his mitzvahs, and therefore, even if you're keeping Shabbos, you're not going to be alive in the next world if you didn't do the
you
mitzvahs.
You're simply going through the motions.
We're there somewhere. Shagam shelo yargishi. The true pleasure of Gan Eden, where tzaddikim are basking in the glow of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, nimshach me'atanug v'achiyut sheyish liyudi b'kiyam ha'mitzvahs bo'olam hazeh. It's drawn from the pleasure and enjoyment that a Jew gets from his fulfillment of the mitzvahs. Think about it like this. Imagine every bite of fruit, every bite of ice cream that you got, that amount of deliciousness would be saved in a bucket and that would be put in Olam Haba. That's what you would experience, except take out ice cream and instead put it in, insert
mitzvahs
of the mitzvahs. Every bite of a mitzvah, every bite of deliciousness that you get in mitzvahs in this world, that's what you're going to feel in the next world.
What do you mean by bite of mitzvah?
Every time, right now. Hopefully right now you're enjoying this class. It's geschmack, it feels good. God stores up all of that pleasure, and that's exactly what you're going to feel times, I don't know, a lot. But that, proportional to that, is what you will feel in the next world.
If we envisioned it as, I don't know, a big old thing of popcorn at the movies, all right, so every time you do an awesome mitzvah, you yelled veiku to somebody, like make the day better, you get a nice little piece of popcorn, it's very awesome. So when you do, so like when you go through a Shabbos and like you go to Shacharit, mumble through, you don't really care, and like whatever, you just have like a meh, go through the motions kind of thing, like you did nothing wrong, you just did nothing right.
Right.
It's like a stale burnt piece of something, like it's not really, like it's there, but like
it's, seed, it didn't
it's not really anything.
Right. It is really something. No.
It is something, but
at
like,
the end of the day,
it could have been more.
And you still do get enjoyment out of the fact that you are committed and you're fulfilling, you're being the best you, you're going that davening even if you don't feel like it, and you're, you know, and you're showing up to that shir and making that chavrutz even when you don't feel like it, and that itself gives you enjoyment. But of course, it can't be compared to when you force yourself to verbalize the words of Tila and you sing and you dance and right and you dance, and that's a totally different experience, and you'll experience it differently, and in the next world you will also experience it very differently. Okay, everyone with me? And by the way, this is also, by the way, the truth to Kedusha, to holiness. It says all the Hasidic masters that you really can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't. Because basically, you can either get your true enjoyment in life out of the spiritual, or you can get your enjoyment out of life out of physical. And if you're getting your main pleasure out of life, out of the something divorced from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, out of the physical divorced from spirituality, you will not be able to get connected to Dveikus, to Chai Behem, to Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Well, you can get your cake through Hashem and through Mitzvah. Oh,
so you can say that bracha and eat that cake, and then, but you have to be honest. Is my pleasure truly that I'm connecting to Hashem? Or even after I've connected to Hashem, do I keep eating and eating and eating, even though I know it's not healthy for me?
You can get spiritual elevation through physical things.
Of course you can. That's what it's all about. But by orienting yourself towards the ikkar being spiritual and not the ikkar being physical. And how do you know if you're being honest with yourself?
If
you're overindulging in sex, in food, in sleep, in anything, then you know that your true pleasure is not spiritual but physical. And that's the struggle that we all struggle with every day. Right? Every day. Every moment. Every moment. There's never been a moment in my life when I don't have this battle, but it's a battle that we keep on fighting.
Do you think that certain communities, like when we were in Meir Shalom, for example, they were, like, they really took that tower, and they were, like, really, really, like, distancing themselves from, like, anything physical.
Beautiful.
Well, like, yeah.
That's beautiful. I think that's beautiful. That doesn't mean I agree with everything in that way of life. I think sometimes there are certain things that may be irresponsible. For example, like you need to pay the bills, and you need to pay your taxes, and you need you need to have the basic level of physicality in order to contribute to the land of Israel, for example. But if you're doing the basics, there's no need to overindulge, which I think is probably even more dangerous and that's why I think our generation probably is the most challenged spiritually generation that there's ever been.
We'll call the generation of distraction.
I'll say that again. I think we have the most challenged, hardest fight than any other generation in Judaism, even though we have the best, happiest life theoretically. We have the most freedom. But because we have so much overindulgence, it's so hard to connect it to our soul.
But it's so easy because we have so much YU Torah.
Baruch Hashem. Now we also have amazing things. We have the state of Israel. We have beautiful Torah, but we have to find a way to not overindulge. Okay, Weiser. Eisha Gehenim, oh my gosh. And you know what the fire of hell is, guys? Notzeret me'esha taiva la'veira bolam hazeh. When you have a taiva and you give into that taiva and you sin, that creates a fire, which is what we have to experience in the next world.
So it's guilt.
V'gam ta'anug olam haba mekoro me'atanug v'achayichiyot sheyesh l'udi bolam hazeh. They're not two separate explanations, the next world and mitzvahs. They're the same thing. The mitzvahs have Olam Haba in it. And how do we get Olam Haba? Through the mitzvahs. You get it? You understand, John? You understand, Brooksy? Through the mitzvahs.
Mitzvah have Olam Haba in them?
Olam Haba is not just something in the next world when we die. There's Olam Haba in this world.
How does that manifest? Like, how does that?
Dveikus. When you're feeling that moment of dveikus, of connection, of happiness, that is an Olam Haba moment. Ashrei Yoshvei Veitecha. You're sitting in the base knessas of Odia Luchatela. The Gemara says, someone says Ashrei three times a day, Zocha LeOlam Haba. Explains Rav Kook and all the Rebbes. Olam Haba doesn't only mean, in the next world you go to heaven, but in this world, if you're living in the principles expressed by Ashrei, this world will be an Olam Haba type of existence. And the Ramchal says that also in his Sefer Derech Hashem. Each one is dependent on the other. By doing that mitzvah with love and true joy, you will merit to the next world. Okay? Let's keep pushing a little bit more. Third paragraph. V'idgisha hatarya kan v'shamartem et chukatai dechukatayinu shatamam in amusag. A chuk means, what's a chuk? What type of law is a chuk?
A mitzvah you don't understand.
Paraduma.
Like paraduma.
Kashrut.
Sheba mitzvah shadam mevin tamam yeshel yoter regesh bazeh. When you understand the mitzvah, then you feel it more. Even a law that I don't understand why I do it, right? There might be a few laws here and there that we just like don't get it. Even that, rock Hashem. I'm doing because that's what Hashem says, right? You got each one of us can think of the one mitzvah that just doesn't make any sense to us, right? Maybe it's eruv. Maybe it's bestiality.
Not coveting the neighbor's wife.
Maybe.
Always covered.
Shomer Nagia, I don't know.
Shomer Nagia, really.
Gan Behen. Yeah, look. It's really
a rabbi thing.
Next controversial halacha I decided. Shomer Nagia.
Yeah. You're not allowed to touch girls, mainly to sex. That's why it's called. But like, if you're not going to have sex before marriage anyways, then there's no point in Shomer Nagia.
No. Says no one. No holy rabbi who's ever lived.
Except
Brooks.
Except Brooks.
And that is exactly. No, but that's exactly the point. I don't even understand this. This makes no sense to me. But I'm doing the Ratzon of Hashem. I'm doing what Hashem tells me to do. That's it. And that itself will give you the vitality. Like the holy Dal Divishmal says, Sal Avarina Zecher Malchuto, Mizeg Guf Ish Yudi Zocher Laskir Malchuto, Lomar Hashem Hashem Baruch Ata Hashem Tzarech Nitmale Simcha. Just the fact that I can say Baruch Ata Hashem, after this we're going to say a Bracha Corona. Just the fact that I can say Hashem's name, I have to be full of joy because God is in my life. Al Derech Ze Kasher Yudi Mekayem Mitzvah Vose Bevera Vetach Irtzon Hashem. Just the fact that I'm doing mitzvahs, I have to be full of joy. I was on the plane, and this guy who totally didn't understand religion at all, me and him had this amazing conversation. And he was totally against all rituals. And he was trying to ask, but he liked me. And he's like, Rabbi, I don't get it. Like, why? What possible enjoyment can you get from these random, I was telling him about all the random laws, like Mitilat Yadayim and all, whatever. He understood like the stuff like Lashon Hara. Okay, that makes sense. But like washing your hands, like what enjoyment do you get out of that?
I'm not getting sick.
Okay, but that doesn't explain why I have to wash my hands 2 times, 3 times, you know, before I eat bread.
You gotta make sure you get all the germs.
And I should take some soap and scrape. That doesn't explain why I have to wash 3 times with the
cup. Maybe it's healthier, actually, and there's something secret to it that we don't know about.
There's tons of value to custom.
Maybe this, maybe that. I told him my basic answer. At the end of the day, whether I understand the specific rationale behind any specific law or not, I feel like every time I do a mitzvah, Hashem is watching, and I'm proud of myself, and I'm doing the right thing. And I'm bringing, of course, I enjoy meditation, I enjoy dancing, I enjoy connecting to people. There are many rational explanations I can give. But at the end of the day, even if I don't understand the explanation, I can derive enjoyment from the fact that I'm being the best me I can be. Okay? So that's what I told him. So that's also, even if there are laws that we don't understand, we can still do it with joy and vitality. Okay? So it's not saying and you'll live and you'll get Olam Haba. You shouldn't be doing the mitzvahs to get the next world. The reward comes on its own. If you are, guys, stay with me. If you are doing the mitzvahs with vitality, then automatically you're going to get that pleasure. It's not that one, you should be doing it for the sake of that, but automatically one will lead to the next. Okay, last paragraph on the page. You have to understand, why did Hashem create the world? What was the purpose behind it all, guys? Why did Hashem create us? Why did Hashem create Ellen? Why did
this
folk? Okay.
He got bored.
That's one explanation. What does the Mesillas Yesharim say?
For the purpose of man.
For the purpose of giving towards us. Because God is a giver. And in order to give, what do we need to do?
Exist.
Oh, that's
the... We need to exist and we need to do mitzvah so that we can create a vessel that can create the light that God wants to give to us. So right now, as we're learning Torah, if we're in the proper frame of mind, we're creating a vessel which is allowing God's blessing to come down into our lives. And we'll continue to manifest blessing in our lives. but God wants to give to us. Yekadosh Baruch Hu Tov, God is good. Umiderech HaTov Leitiv, and if you're good, you want to give, right? You want to give. Lekach Barat HaOlam Leitiv LeBarav. So God created the world to give to His creatures. The purpose of life is for us to take us these fleshy bodies, these animalistic drives that we have, right? Because essentially we're just animals, just want to eat and drink and have relations and go crazy, and to somehow transform ourselves to angels, to bodies which have souls, and to start getting enjoyment out of the spiritual. And it does not come naturally. It's just like playing leaning or playing guitar. It does not come naturally. You need to work very hard. Some people have to work even harder. Some people are slower. Some people have it more naturally. But everyone has to work hard in order to get enjoyment out of the spiritual. But that is why we're in the world, to transform ourselves into spiritual beings. When you do a sin, you know what you're doing? You're closing the vessel. You're turning it. You're closing it so that the blessing can't come in. And sometimes when you do a sin, you just feel closed off and sad. Maybe you have that initial enjoyment, but then afterwards you get all depressed and you feel low. You guys know what I'm talking about? It doesn't last when you overindulge in sins. And it's like Hashem Himself is sad because Hashem wants to give to us, but we're not letting Him give to us when we sin. When we do the mitzvahs with vitality, as yored Hashefa, the blessing comes down. And then God can give to us. So naturally the blessing comes down. It's like when we say hallel, naturally God wants to give us more. Same way when someone's nice to you, you want to give to them more, right? We say this every day in the Shema. The second paragraph, we said that if you do the mitzvahs, God's going to give you rain. Does that mean I should be doing the mitzvahs in order to get rain or to get reward?
No.
What does it mean? The Torah tells us you have to love Hashem with all your heart and all your soul. I knew over Hashem itbarach mesiris nefesh. We have to do self-sacrifice for Hashem, even when it's hard. Madriga aliona shel ava, loving Hashem. Umanev nafka mina lo imenatadim daratchem. What do I care if I do it, if I get rain or not? I should be doing it for intrinsic self-motivation, not so I can get some more rain or olam haba. Ela perish bezek amarsh ein zeschar ela inyanin imshach memela. The Rambam explains that this is not reward, but naturally, if we do the mitzvahs, what's going to happen? Hashem's going to give us more opportunities to do mitzvahs. How? He's going to give us rain and food and Torah and beautiful weather so that we can be happy and do more mitzvahs. And we can do more mitzvahs. It's a domino effect. But not that I'm doing it for the reward. The reward is there in order to allow us to do more mitzvahs. Okay? Let's just finish off with this. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says that mitzvah leads to
mitzvah,
and avera leads to navera. Which nor uschar avera avera, and what's the reward? Schar mitzvah mitzvah, schar avera avera. What's the reward for doing a mitzvah?
Olam haba, more mitzvah.
And what's our reward for more doing avera? Avera? So more now with this new explanation, how do we understand the reward for a mitzvah being a mitzvah?
It's just that mitzvah is the mitzvah itself.
In the mitzvah itself is the reward for the mitzvah. You get it?
Yeah.
Mitzvah gerat mitzvah hainash yudi amekayem mitzvah v'oseh tachal v'tan Hashem arim amekayem b'zeh od mitzvah. If you do the mitzvah, you're doing another mitzvah. She'u seh nachas ruach l'Hashem yitbarach. You're making Hashem happy. Because when you do it with joy, Hashem's smiling down. V'ilu avera gerat avera. And when you do an avera, what happens to Hashem, so to speak, kaviyachol? He's sad. So you're making him sad, and we don't want to make Hashem sad. So just to sum up what we've seen today, the idea is that every mitzvah that we do, we have to do it, whether we understand it or not understand it, we have to try to psych ourselves up to do it with as much joy and chias and love as possible. And that itself brings us the enjoyment and the pleasure, which is the next world. In this world and in the next world, it's all based on our joy that we do through our mitzvah. So with that, if each one of us can we're going to go around and everyone can commit ourselves to one mitzvah this week that we're going to do with love and extra sincere joy during this fierce Omer time. So,